Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
Dendrochronology takes some skill, but anyone can learn it. This is WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow, with our expert Patrick Murphy, with Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I now know what dendrochronology is, thanks to you. Let's tell everyone else.
Basically, it's the craft of counting the rings on a tree to determine the tree's age. And it's one of only two ways to know the age of a tree. And do you happen to know what the other way is, Mike?
I would guess the only way, other way you would know is to actually plant the seed, know when you planted the seed, and then track the years.
That's the only other way. The tree has to be cut down, but it doesn't have to be dead. But yes, you're correct.
And even getting one from the nursery and then planting it might not give you an accurate age, because they sell plants based not on age, right?
Right. Trees are typically sold either bald and burlap. They measure the trunk diameter at 5 feet off the ground. You know, so a 2 to 2.5 inch tree is a reference to a bald and burlap tree. And then pots are also gauged by the size of the pot, so like a number 2 or a number 3, as well as trees are sold in containers by their height, 3 to 4 feet, 4 to 5 feet, etc. And there's no way of knowing how old it was when you got it unless somebody was keeping track of that.
Because there's all kinds of factors that can affect how fast it grows.
That's right.
So how hard is it to count the rings? I'm guessing you said the tree does not have to be dead to count the rings?
Correct. So if, say, a tree is damaged in a storm, the tree is alive when it's damaged, but when the cross section is exposed by cutting the tree down, you can still make the assessment. The tree doesn't have to be dead technically. There's also the technology of tomography, the same tomography that's used to look inside the human body to look at, you know, medical stuff. That'll give us an estimate, but it won't give us the accurate count. There could be lots of things in that picture, like internal decay or a disease signature or compressed rings that are very close together. They would not be able to accurately be displayed in the tomography. Resist the graft is a tool that's used to drill into a tree to determine if it has internal defects like cracks or compartmentalized decay, which is a very common setback in large trees. So even with the best of technology today, it's still unable to give us the accuracy of taking a hand lens and a pen and counting those rings.
If we're counting rings, then where do we get started?
Dating a tree from ring counting requires a little bit of basic understanding of a few details. So the main one to understand is a xylem. They are the cellular vessels that make up the walls of the cells that you'll be counting. They're revealed as concentric rings that start in the middle of the trunk and then radiate out to larger rings as you get closer to the bark's edge. The xylem cells vary in size based on when they were created during normal tree growth. For example, numerous and large vessels are laid down during the summer growing season. That's kind of a starting point.
So you'd see wider rings during the summer growing season?
You would see wider rings during the summer growing season, and then the opposite of that is you would see fewer and smaller xylem during the winter. So that would be displayed as narrower rings. So for trees in temperate tropical zones, they still do a little bit of growing in the winter, just less than the spring, summer, and fall.
So looking at a cross-section of a tree that you didn't know where it came from, you might be able to determine it came from a temperate or tropical zone based on how the rings are organized?
It might not cue you in to whether it was from a tropical or temperate, but it would definitely tell you some things like what side of that tree faced north and what sides faced south. It would be able to tell you if it was a tree that was in a four-season climate versus a tropical climate, because the tropical climate might have a more consistent spacing of the rings. So it'll tell you some stuff, but it won't give us that exact answer.
And besides the rings, what else can we see? What other structure is there?
The cross-section of a trunk or the top of a saw-cut stump also reveal the structure of the tree's inner compartments. So the bark layer, the outermost ring, easily recognizable with the obvious conclusion that marks the beginning of the next layer, and that's the cambium that's right behind the bark. The bark protects this area. And this layer is the active growing layer. The phloem lies in this cambium layer also, and they carry food from the leaves all the way down into the roots too. And many gardeners know this area as the bright green layer that is carrying water and nutrients up and down along the tree. The bark and the cambium are essentially a living layer stretched over the previous year's growth of cells, which are a skeleton for the entire tree, minus the leaves and the roots.
Do you start at the center and move out, or start at the out and move in?
You can actually do it either way, and sometimes the condition of the cross-section will dictate this. So sapwood is the outer ring of dead cells, where heartwood are the oldest inactive cells that you'll find nearest the inner core of any tree. Many times, tree layers have a slight difference in color, and the characteristics of these rings can tell a story about the life of a tree.
Like what?
Years with less growth due to less light. So if you're in an area where there were smoke fires, wildfires, or say a volcanic eruption, that's something that is an obvious signature on a cross-section. Less water, drought conditions, change in grade. So if a large tree had an area excavated next to it for construction, this is something you could probably identify on the tree's rings. Thinner rings close together show the duration and severity of the impact from any of these factors. So years with thick rings often for repeated years reveal great light and water availability and the most vigorous growth. And then similarly, the clefts in the tree rings, they mark where branches have emerged. So you can tell how many years down the road did this tree create large lower branches. So thicker bark with tighter rings can usually be found on the north or east side. That's the shady side of the trunk face. Forest fires, lightning strikes, disease, they can all be visible from these cross-section. And events can be dated based on the final ring count to estimate the years that the tree stood.
There are a lot of rings in an old tree. Do you double-check your work? I have to think this would be sort of mind-numbing.
You absolutely do. You would want to mark your path. I use a felt tip pen. Sometimes I use an awl because sometimes the wood will allow me to leave a little dimple in there. And I definitely recommend a magnifying lens or a Magna Shield or something like that, especially if you have old eyes.
I guess my last question is why. The tree stood for years. It provided shade. It provided habitat for animals. Why is it important to know how old it is?
Well, it can be helpful to know how old the tree is because the tree story is one that kind of lays over things like the year we were born, when we graduated from Illinois State University, other world events, when you retired. They're all part of the tale of a tree's life, and they're all the things that the tree kind of stood over during that tree's life. There's an activity we have planned with some ISU sustainability interns, and we're going to teach them to conduct the ring counting. And, in part to determine the age of the tree when it was removed from the arboretum, but also the tree ages can be saved as part of the tree record to highlight typical lifespans and trends and tree successes and failures.
If you have questions or comments about anything in the garden or landscape, including the age of trees or the Fell Arboretum, get in touch, and Patrick Murphy with Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.